from deep inside your audio device of choice.
Ladies and gentlemen, on the menu today, not microplastics, but plastics. You know, the old-fashioned kind that are big? No, really not true. They're small, too. They're just not as small. Anyway, a federal appeals court in the United States has killed a ban on plastic containers contaminated with highly toxic forever chemicals. That's what they're called. Because they don't break down like we do. They're found to leach at alarming levels, this according to the Guardian newspaper from way across the pond, into food, cosmetics, household cleaners, pesticides, and other products across the economy. They're called PFAS, but forever chemicals is how we know them. Houston-based Enhance, not Enhance, but Enhance, see what they did there? It manufactures an estimated 200 million containers every year with a process that creates, among other chemicals, PFOA, that's a toxic compound of PFAS. The EPA, a couple months ago, prohibited Enhance from using the manufacturing process. But at the conservative Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, which I believe is right here in New Orleans, overturned the ban. The judges did not deny the container's health risks, but said the EPA could not regulate the buckets under the particular statute it used. Yeah, that's legalism. The rule requires companies to alert the EPA if a new industrial process creates hazardous chemicals. Enhance has produced the containers for decades, argued its process is not new, so it's not subject to the regulations. The EPA argued it only became aware that Enhance's process created PFOA 4 years ago, so it could be regulated as a new use. The court disagreed. Don't you disagree with the court now. PFAS are a class of about 15,000 compounds used to make products resistant to water, stains, and heat. They're known as forever chemicals because they don't naturally break down, unlike us. And they have been linked to cancer, high cholesterol, liver disease, kidney disease, fetal complications, and other serious health problems, the EPA said in a statement to the British newspaper The Guardian. It's reviewing the situation. The decision is the latest salvo in a four-year legal fight over the company's manufacturing process. News of Musk Love, a lawsuit that Elon Musk's ex filed last year against a research group, was thrown out this week. The judge, U.S. District Judge Charles Breyer, saying, quote, this case is about punishing the defendants for their speech, unquote. That about an alleged free speech absolutist named Musk. In its complaint in Northern California, X, formerly Twitter, argued that the nonprofit Center for Countering Digital Hate violated the platform's terms of service in gathering data for reports that documented a significant increase in hate speech following Musk's takeover. The company claimed the CCDH was responsible for tens of millions of dollars in damages due to lost ad revenue and the expense of internal investigations. But the judge wrote, quote, there could be no mistaking that the real motive of the suit was to bully X's critics into silence. And Donald Trump started selling Bibles this week, $60 Bibles, because water and wine just weren't quite enough. Just another way for a rich man to raise money, I guess. By the way, the rest of this program will be looking backward at some of the highlights of the last few years here on the broadcast. But first, you wouldn't believe how rich I am. And just between us, neither would I. I own properties on the Scottish coast and buildings that dwarf the New York sky. But real estate doesn't sell itself, and a forced sale could lead to a crash. Yeah, I'm really, really rich. So, please send me some cash. If I really cared about food, I could be eating the best. I know some of the world's hottest women. Each one with the world's hottest chest. But when a meal is finished, it's over. And an affair always ends in a clash. Yes, I'm really, really rich. But please, send me some cash. People who work for my company, they get their lawyers for free. As long as they know how to testify without hurting me. Lawyers don't grow on trees. Whether they're smooth or brash. Yes, I'm really, really rich. So whatever you do, don't act like a Jew. Please, send me some cash.
Hello, welcome to the show.
Here and get me some money too. here. Get me some honey too.
Ladies and gentlemen, here on the show, we every once in a while like to check in with the Chicago Board of Trade, see what the pork belly trades are. What? Okay. Now, all right. Ladies and gentlemen, little change in plans. This doesn't happen all this often here on the show, especially these days. But we're having an incoming call on the newsmaker line that I'm being told we should get to right away. So, hello, you're on the show.
Yeah, listen, Harry, this is Donald Trump. I called in several times to your show before I was president.
No, I remember that.
And now I'm still president, and I'm calling into your show because I understand that, you know, I was on Sean Hannity this week.
Yes.
And, you know, it's Fox News, which I'm not that hot about these days, but well, Sean's a good friend.
Uh-huh.
But he can't do things that they don't allow, and so we had less than an hour.
Uh-huh.
And I know you're on the public, not Republic,
no,
but
public radio.
Public radio, and you've got all the time that you want. So
well,
I have things that I need to say and have the American public understand. And so, great to be on with you.
All right, thank you, sir. We don't have all the time in the world.
But, well, nobody does.
Yeah.
But,
okay. I guess I'll start with a question.
Great.
You got a lawsuit filed against you this week by the New York State Attorney General Letitia James,
yep,
alleging that all sorts of funny valuations were placed on your various properties and
yep,
investments, depending on whether you were talking to the tax people or to the banks looking for loans.
Ridiculous.
And
just the most ridiculous thing.
Hmm.
You know, she's hated me for years. I don't know why she hates Trump, but she's hated me for years. And she doesn't understand the first thing. I mean, number one, about how I run my businesses, which is, I was president.
Yes.
I was president of the United States for 4 years.
Of
Did
course.
You think I was sitting down and writing out valuations in the Oval Office at the Resolute desk? I mean, this woman is thinking like, I don't understand. But here is the thing you have to understand. I have three grown children who were executive vice presidents of the Trump Organization.
Well,
that means they were executive vice presidents of the Trump Organization.
Uh-huh.
So they were the people who, when somebody comes in looking to have something signed
right,
or notated or something, they didn't come to me.
Ah.
They came to one of my three grown children.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a great job. But unfortunately, there were things that they didn't quite understand about the world of business because they didn't grow up in it.
Ah.
I grew up in the world of business. My dad was a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
My father was a great businessman and taught me so much about the business. And these kids, you know, they went to school. They went to college. They learned different things, learned great things, but they didn't learn that much about business.
So are you suggesting, sir, that the Letitia James lawsuit should just have been filed against your children and not you, sir?
The way you learn about business is you do it.
Mm.
And so I put them in positions where when something came in and it needed a signature or it needed a number or it needed something, they were on the spot. They were the responsible parties whose signatures appear on the documents. And it was they who authorized if there was a value of so many millions of dollars at 40 Wall Street or at Mar-a-Lago or one of the fabulous properties that I own, which is maybe the best collection of properties on the face of the planet, as well as Earth itself. They were the ones who made those decisions. That's how they learned how to be the business people that they are today. You know, Eric has run the hotel business in the Trump Organization now ever since I came down the staircase. That basically was the the best, the first ad for that hotel was coming down the staircase, and sure. he took over and done a wonderful job. The weekend plans are just something else. And so...
What it sounds like, sir, is that you're kind of putting your own children under the bus.
There's no bus. Oh. There's no bus. There never was a bus.
Well,
this is purely a matter of these are numbers. They're the numbers on pages, and who was that knew about them, and who it was that signed them or wrote their name or initials. Or, I was the president.
Yes.
I could do anything.
Right.
Why would I spend time filling out those forms when I could go declassify a whole bunch of documents,
well,
which I did, by the way.
Yeah. All right, it sounds like you're sort of cutting them loose.
No, there's no cutting.
Well,
they are loose. They're grown-ups. They can take care of themselves with some great legal talent at their sides.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that they're going to do just wonderfully well. And Letitia James is going to be very sorry that she tangled with these three fine individuals.
All right, ex-President Trump, I have to... sort of negate what you were assuming at the beginning. We don't have all the time in the world.
I knew that.
And I have to move on. But
yeah.
Thank you for calling our newsmaker line. You know the number.
The American people are very angry about this. I think you've seen it where if you go out at night.
Well,
I've seen it at my rallies.
Mm-hmm.
And people at my rallies say they understand that these kids were trying their best,
mm-hmm.
but may have made a mistake or two.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, a witch hunt is a witch hunt, no matter who the witch is, who's doing the hunting. And I just thought that people had to know that.
Good point to end on. Donald Trump on our newsmaker line. And the show continues.
Spring will be a little greater than
Ladies and gentlemen, doings this week in the wake of the Mueller report, which focused on both Russian involvement, meddling in the 2016 election, and the question of whether there was obstruction of justice committed by the Trump administration or President Trump himself. And you may recall, before the report was released, Attorney General Barr issued a 4-page letter, which everybody took to be a summary of the conclusions in the report. Mueller had said the summary did not fully capture the context, nature, and substance of his work. Barr said, "I wasn't interested in putting out summaries, period." He denied that his 4-page letter was a summary. It was just the conclusions and Barr's interpretation thereof. Well, I know one place that he may take questioning, and he won't be found guilty of contempt of therapy.
Today, he's on the hot seat, even before he sits down.
Let me summarize this for you, and believe me, this is in no way a summary.
An attorney general gets specific on an all-new Dr. Bill.
5.
And bye, Dr. Bill.
4.
This whole show is a trigger warning.
3.
Have a good show, Dr. Bill.
2.
We're
going to
send Judge Judy back to law school today.
1.
Dr. Bill.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, we don't like to do politics on this program. Not that it's against my professional oath, because my profession is TV host. But my guest today left a comfortable career in a law firm to re-enter public life, and now he's not sure the price is worth paying. At least that's what our intern thought she heard him say during the pre-interview. Please welcome Attorney General William Barr.
Good to see you. Good to see you.
Hello, Dr. Bill. My wife loves your show.
That's very kind, but of course it begs the question, do you love my show too? But let's not even go there.
Okay. Where should we go? This is after?
It's in the fierce urgency of now, Mr. Attorney General. You're in the middle of crossfire that's worse than marital strife in Warren Jeff's house. He was the famous polygamist.
Ah.
Thank you.
Well, I don't like answering questions when I can't decide who's asking them. I happen to think that's part of my prerogative as Attorney General.
Well, you did agree to come on this show and answer my questions.
Yes, I did. But if you had told me your lawyer would interview me for the second half hour, I would have told you in no uncertain terms to go kiss Dr. Oz's sweet patootie.
Okay, I'm no doctor. I just play one on TV. But that sounds like something very much like defensiveness is hiding out somewhere way deep inside.
Me?
Well, not me. I work here. Well. But now, here's what I think is interesting, Bill. Mm-hmm. You don't want to answer questions from an attorney.
That's correct.
And yet, what is it you do for a living?
I'm an attorney.
You see what I'm getting at here? It sounds like the fox got plumb tired of guarding the chicken coop.
You know, Dr. Bell, the hardest thing in the world is to deny being defensive.
Because you sound defensive doing it, right?
That's correct. Well, so let me just summarize my position. And this is, of course, in no way an actual summary. Or for that matter, a summation. That's a legal thing.
Okay, let me move this a little bit closer to the chase, Mr. Attorney General. Mm-hmm. We got face cream to move here. You just don't want to answer the questions of someone you think is as smart as you are. Isn't that the pebble in your mental shoe?
I think the whole problem here...
Tell you what, sir. You tell me the little problems, and I'll tell you the whole problem. That's kind of how it works here.
All right. Problem I was having was twofold. One, the members of Congress were misinterpreting what they thought I was going to say had I come to the second hearing in the first place. And two, they misinterpreted Bob Mueller as calling my letter a summary of his report, which, to the best of my knowledge, he did not. I mean, there's a lot more to it, but...
But that's a fair summary?
No, it wasn't a summary. It was an outline of my current problems.
Bullet points?
No, I don't do bullet points. What I was doing was summing up the key elements of what's been driving me just a little bit haywire here.
It was summing up?
Right. Not a summary.
Now, did you hear that, audience? They're smarter than we are, and they could spot the bullfrog in the bathtub in what you said there.
Well, I have nothing but respect for your audience and for all audiences. I'm just saying that what irritated me is that Bob Mueller was irritated with the media, and the media said he was irritated with me. And I think that irritated him, too, although he never told me that personally.
Now, you know, Bill, I've learned a couple things doing this show ever since we knocked Maury Povich off the air. Mm-hmm. One of them is that sometimes people have got to be able to communicate with each other in a variety of ways, not to always telling each other chapter and verse. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying here?
I could repeat it back to you. I'm not sure I could actually boil it down, frankly.
Okay, this could be a lawyer problem, Bill, or it could be a you problem. I think since you and Bob Mueller don't seem to be able to testify at the same time and at the same place, the way to solve this is to get you two together for an intensive week at the newly renovated Dr. Bill House. What do you say, audience?
Well, of course, I do have a day job. Mm-hmm.
It's like my uncle Dr. Pete said, if you want to get better, you better get. And he wasn't a doctor either. Next time, a middle-aged mom discovers her teenage daughter is still a virgin. Till then, stay well. It's the only way to be.
The Dr. Bill Show is a Make a Big Production Out of It production, taped before a live audience at Stage Psychology City in Hollywood.
Later in the week, he got more serious about the whole impeachment thing. Gordon Sondland, his donor, gave $1 million, and totally coincidentally, Trump appointed him EU ambassador. Sondland had fixed his testimony to the House Intelligence Committee. He had originally said there was no quid pro quo. Then he fixed it at the beginning of this week, saying, well, there was. Yeah, there actually was. And President Trump fixed his assessment of Gordon Sondland in response. He had said a few weeks ago that he was a great guy. This week he said, he didn't know him at all.
Little Stormy was a handful, despite all the hype.
I paid a load of chump change, but no way was she my type. Now, when anybody asks me, I don't care if I upset her. But this I can tell you, I never even met her. John Kelly was a chief of staff, like I needed one of those. I never liked his manner, I was creeped out by his clothes. Now he's talking lots of trash, I probably should sue him. And here's the beauty part, I never even knew him. Gracie Rudy was the mayor of my personal hometown. When I was helping at Ground Zero, I didn't see him around. He offered help with the Russian thing, so I told my staff, okay, let him. He's not my real lawyer. Was such a lovely gal, the kind of immigrant I approve. I saw her first at a modeling gig, then I made my trademark move. Now she's raising my last son, at big events you can view her. I'm sure she's a very fine person too. Too bad
to know you.
Yes, I would.
But I'd like to get to know you.
If I could.
But I'd like to get to know
you. Finally, I found searching all around. Just was not the answer. What I thought was true looked a bit like you. I figured I might chance her.
But I'd like to get to know you.
Yes, I would.
But I'd like to get to know you. Yes, I'd like to get to know you.
If I could. Well, I can't promise that I'll spend a day with you. I can't promise that I'll find a way with you. I can't promise, no, I can't promise that I'll love you. But I'd like to get to know you.
Yes, I would.
Yes, I'd like to get to know you.
If I could.
Know you, know you, know.
Rather remarkable testimony before the House January 6th committee this week. Cassidy Hutchinson, former chief of staff to Trump's chief of staff, Mark Meadows, testified that at one point when she came into the White House dining room, she found ketchup stains on the wall. The President of the United States, in one of what she described as his not infrequent bouts of intemperate temper, had thrown his food at the wall.
When I was a child, sometimes I'd get wild when friends came over to call. If I was too sleepy, too angry, or weepy, I'd just throw my food at the wall. I was a big business baron, screaming and swearing when it was hard to get a rival to deal. So I'd get him in a room with no napkin or broom and just miss his puss with my meal. Mayonnaise and ketchup you don't expect on the wall. You're there for a big meeting, you don't know who to call. Screaming and yelling, great for setting the mood, but nothing packs a wallop like throwing my food. When I'm in the Oval, my code name is Mogul, doing whatever I like is my job. Except the Secret Service starts acting real nervous about me going down and joining a mob. So I go back home, do some work with the comb, and then get a pretty good hunch. I do an old hands call, get my agents near the wall, and then I wallop them with my lunch. Mayonnaise and ketchup you don't expect on the wall. You're there for a big meeting, you don't know who to call. Screaming and yelling, great for setting the mood, but nothing packs a wallop like winding up and throwing my food. In the old days, I'd call Michael Cohen and you and your ass would be sued. But I got tired of lawyers, so now I just throw my food. My food.
From New Orleans, Louisiana, this is Le Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a noteworthy edition of this broadcast. It's today marks the 39th anniversary of the first Le Show hitting the airwaves, and the airwaves, of course, hitting back. 39 anniversaries don't normally merit much attention, but as some of you might know, I began my, as we call it in America, my journey through show business at the mentorship of one of the great American comedians of the 20th century, Jack Benny.
Lucky Strike program starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Rochester, Dennis Day, Bob Crosby, and yours truly, Don Wilson.
Halloween will be over before we know it.
Hiya, Mr. Benny.
Hello, Butch.
Well, you were talking to that man who rang some more doorbells.
Yeah, we divided up our stuff we got. We dumped it all out in the sidewalk. We got a bag of Sucas peanuts, a stick of gum, a penny, a bottle of Coke, and a Tootsie Roll.
I'll take the Coca-Cola.
I'll take the Tootsie Roll. I'll take the lollipop.
Now it's between you and me, Mr. Benny. Which do you want, the stick of gum or the penny?
Well, I guess I'll take the stick of gum.
Okay, then get your foot off the penny.
And part of his shtick, aside from pretending to be a miser and a guy who fancied himself a better violin player than we heard, although these were made up. He was a fine violin player, and he was a very generous man. But, the, you know, the shtick, the persona. And another part of it was that he refused to acknowledge his advancing age, insisting always that he was just 39. And as I say, I start my career under his mentorship, so the number 39 has outsized significance for me.
Well, I better go home, too. So long, fellas. We all better go.
Okay, Mr. Banks. Before we break up, we want to say something to you.
What is it, fellas?
For he's a jolly good beaver. For he's a jolly good beaver. For he's a jolly good beaver. But we wish he'd pay his dues.
I will, fellas. I will. I see you at the next meeting. So long, beaver. So long. Gee, what a night. Such fun. Yeah, it's great to be young. Going around from door to door and... Uh-oh. I wonder... Well, it won't hurt to try. Trick or treat.
I'm sorry, but I'm only the watchman in this bank.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. See, I came back just like I promised. I want to tell you that on my television show, which goes on in exactly 30 seconds on the CBS television network, I'm going to have as my guest star Dinah Shore, and we're going to do Buck Benny Rides Again. So for those of you who haven't got a television set, you've got 30 seconds to buy one. If you live in Waukegan, my cousin Cliff Gordon will have one going in the window. See you in a few seconds.
The Jack Benny program this week was written by Milt Josephsberg, John Tackerberry, Al Gordon, Al Goldman, and produced and transcribed by Hilliard Martin. Jack Benny program is brought to you by Lucky Strike, product of the American Tobacco Company, America's leading manufacturer of cigarettes.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, the U.S. intelligence community faced greater challenges, quotes, in briefing former President Trump than it had confronted in almost five decades since when President-elect Nixon was taking office. This is per a new account published by the CIA's Internal Research Center. Now I'm impressed. Far and away the most difficult in its historical experience, says the author. Trump was like Nixon, suspicious and insecure about the intelligence process, but unlike Nixon in the way he reacted, rather than shut the intelligence community out, Trump engaged with it, but attacked it publicly. So the CIA compares Nixon to Trump. Now, regular listeners may know a couple of rather unfamiliar facts. Nixon got into heaven, and he's still taping.
Oh, hold on. Come here. Come here.
I was just checking this.
You saw the CIA stuff on the presidential briefings?
I was just writing up a summary of it.
I don't need a summary, Alderman. I read the damn thing. I'm not Trump.
Which is exactly what the CIA report pointed out.
Which is what could make people think perversely that I am like Trump. Hmm. You see what I'm saying there?
No, I do, but...
I mean, it's 50 years ago, Alderman. Mm-hmm. A normal or a real intelligence agency would have better things to do than keep up these attacks on me. I mean, I'm dead day one. So.
Well, I didn't think of it as an attack on you. It was more like they were using comparisons with you to attack Trump.
Well, say, that's what they wanted you to think. Well, but they've got me having their stuff sent to Kissinger first.
Well, we did.
As you know, Haldeman, the daily briefs were sent to Kissinger to keep the little crowd busy, so he didn't have the time to come up with new ways to screw with our foreign policy objectives.
Well, he was never that busy.
It was a waste of everyone's time having the CIA brief Kissinger. It was like the trainer briefing the poodle.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean...
On the money.
That's right. And, of course, Henry gets... five-decade income stream out of our opening up to China, which, of course, is his right.
And you couldn't go into that consultancy-type business because of all sorts of reasons.
That's right. And, of course, being suspicious of the CIA is about the only thing Trump ever got right.
Going back to the Trump thing.
That's right. And the reason he distrusted them, of course, was because they tended to use big words, not because... Just to take one very big example, they had screwed up the Bay of Pigs deal and then felt they had to make it up to the Kennedys by making Nixon look bad, which, of course, they did.
It's asking Trump to know a lot of history, which...
That's right.
He...
That's right.
Doesn't.
But here's where you see how these people really work. They dredge up Nixon again after all these years.
Mm-hmm.
For what reason?
A revised history of briefing is what it said. Mm. Not an official product of the agency, which, of course...
Well,
is.
Of course they're going to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Trump believes that. And, of course, he has every right to.
Mm-hmm.
But, Haldeman?
Yep.
You and I?
Yep.
We know better.
Yep.
Future to decide. You know I go back there tomorrow, but for the work I've taken on, stoking the star maker machinery behind the popular song.
So, ladies and gentlemen, the House January 6th committee has, in fact, now subpoenaed testimony from a certain ex-president. He also has a criminal proceeding under investigation regarding him in Georgia. The state of New York has filed a civil action against the Trump Organization. Washington Post had a partial list of Trump's lawyers and included one named James Trustee. Strange but true. In any case, the former guy certainly seems to like hanging out with lawyers.
I've had a woman named Sydney and a guy named Lynn. That's the kind of legal scene that I've been in. I've had a lawyer whose first name was Ty. For the life of me, I couldn't figure out why. 87 lawyers, that's an impressive amount. I even hired a lawyer just to do that count. 87 lawyers, I think they breed in the hills. No wonder I don't even try to pay their bills. Still on the team. Eastman was a beast. He thought up the whole scheme. Corcoran and Bob said all the documents were returned. Then the feds threw a hissy fit, claiming they were burned. 87 lawyers, nobody else has more. The ones who turned me down just didn't know the score. 87 lawyers, you can never have enough. One of them is sure to really know their stuff. There's a lawyer on my team. He's called Jim Trustee. Don't you think I need one called Marilyn Busty? Boris Epstein was a lawyer who often made the news. Don't tell me that Trump doesn't like Jews. 87 lawyers, maybe even more. I pay a visit each week to the lawyer's store. 87 lawyers, it's so cool. I probably should open my own law school.
When Messrs. Sachs and Goldman met, visit Mr. Goldman for years and years. Our guys have got the most between the ears. Said Mr. Sachs, let's unhook the reins and find new ways to profit off our traders' brains.
Mr. Goldman and Mr.
ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude this week's edition of the show. Back next time, next week, same time, same station on the radio side of things, whenever you want it, on your side of things with your own audio device of choice. See you then. The email address for this program, a chance to get Cars I Talk t-shirts and the music playlist of the show, all and so much more at harryshearer.com. The tip of the show chapeau to the San Diego desk, Pyram Halstead and Thomas Walsh at WWNO New Orleans. Today's program was produced and edited by Tom Roche. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of WWNO New Orleans, flagship station of the Change is Easy radio network. So long from the Crescent City.